Blog Talk Radio.
I believe the Bible just sets the tone for everything in its first four words. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. Today, people argue that point and say, well, it depends on how you understand God. God is God. That's that. And the truth of the Bible is that God is. And that throughout all of its pages, the declaration is that God is the Father, God is the Son, God is the Holy Spirit, God is God. Three distinct persons, yet totally one God. When Jesus was asked what is the most important commandment, he didn't really start with a commandment. He started with the introduction to commandments. Hear, O Israel. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord. Then he goes on with, and you shall love the Lord. How? When you think of it. Or if it's convenient. Or on Sundays. But being an Old Testament, it's probably on Saturdays. No, It says with your whole spirit, soul, body, the whole lot of us, the whole. I feel like I'm sort of a kindergarten teacher drilling on being whole. Well, we've got to be whole. Either we have a whole heart or we have a divided heart. And you remember that we've spoke on this before, and that one is not a number, but one is something that's complete and whole. The Hebrew word echad means one. God is one. If we would just take the simple words of the Bible and believe them as they are, we would avoid so much haranguing. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you all know the questions that come up. Well, how can God be one and how can he be three? And we try to figure it out with these little heads of ours. How can you figure out the great God of the universe with your little head? Or even all our little heads joined together? It is an issue of faith, isn't it? Beginning of the Bible says, God is. And in the end, God still is. And he's been God all the way through. And he never will be anything other than God. Someone has said that in the beginning, God created man in his own image, and shortly after, man returned the compliment. And so we have all kinds of gods that are made in our image. That's totally backwards. It's we are in his image. So rather than saying God is like us, we need to declare we are like God. So God being one, and yet we declare with the word of God that he is Father, Son, and Spirit. I guess we could say that it like this, that God is the divine, the holy, the heavenly community. That's who God is. He is that community. And this God, well, listen to what Jesus says throughout the Gospels. Especially read John. Sit down and read John and listen to all the things that Jesus has to say about God, about the Father. 141 times in the Gospel of John, Jesus mentions the Father. Pretty important concept. Well, no, that's not true. It's an all-important concept. And Jesus declared that he and the Father are one. Are one. And his prayer is for us that we be one as he and the Father are one. And so this God, who lives in love and in glory, has called us into that community with him. Theologians have used historically a word, perichoresis, which is simply means a perfectly choreographed unity. Or another word that has been used through the centuries, a choreographed dance. When I read the scriptures, I discover that God loves his life and has created us to be a part of that life. That's why Jesus informs us that he came that we might have life and have it in all its abundance. I'll say again what we shared last week. God is not stingy. He is excessively philanthropic, if we can say that about God. So God invites us. He created us that we could be a part of that eternal community. You know, not someday in the future, but here and now. How do we become a part of this life? Is it by a decision? Absolutely not. It's not by a decision. We become a part of this divine community by the sovereign work of God. It's by the sovereign work of God. The Gospel of Matthew ends with Jesus giving a command, giving an order. And here's what that order says, and you already know it. Go into all the world. You know all that part. Go into all the world and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And it goes on some more, but that'll be for another time. Jesus gave orders. Jesus gave orders that we are to be baptized into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The sad part is, for so long, we have regarded baptism like a church ritual. And it is so far more than that. So, if we just look at those words, just two of those words in that sentence, baptize, what does that mean? We talk about baptism. And for most people, it's like I said, a ritual. May God spare us from making it a ritual. The word baptize, the Greek word baptize, simply means this: to totally immerse, to overwhelm, to make completely wet. It's a serious concept. And then usually in our formulas, when we do a baptism, we say we baptize you in the name of the in. And I notice that some translations use the word in. God chose to use the word into. Into. In and into are quite different concepts. And when we think about baptize into, this is not just a surface wedding, but it is to be fully submerged. I know that word submerged, I don't think it's in the Bible, but I think it makes sense to us, to be totally submerged. And when we have a baptism and a person is submerged into the water, is an illustration more than a symbol, but it just shows what is really happening. And what is happening on the inside, not just this wedding on the outside.